What did we say last week? The last one we said was what?
Is another nature of reality?
Yeah.
That's a reality. That's the idea of Yadis, right? Okay. What I'd like to do is just elaborate a little more on the point we mentioned last week. All right? The Ram says like this. The Ram in Hilchas Yisrael Yater Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. Okay? He says, Zimyala Aladas Shehu Eine Matui Ein Dover Achar Yachali Matzeis. That's Halacha Beis. Halacha Gimel, Vinyala Aladas She'ein Kolonim Tzoyim Milvadim Mitzuyim. If you would think, if you could imagine, if you would imagine that there, if you would imagine that nothing else exists, Hu Levada Yematzi, he will still exist. All right? Just the converse of the base. Base is Vinyala Das She'ein Yematzi, nothing else can exist. If you, in other words, if you're going to say that what? That, well, not exactly the converse, mistake. Then Yala isn't going to say Shuin Imata, he doesn't exist. Then nothing else exists. But on the contrary, if you would say it's the contrary to converse. If you would say that nothing else exists, still he exists. All right. But what does the Rambam have to go through these all these elaborations? He will not be nullified by their nullification. She called him son Tzrichon Lo. He has no need for any of them. You say, okay. What is the Ram trying to say? What's the second and third halacha? And of course, he said that there. What is the Ram trying to tell us? What does it mean? It means that the nature of every other existence is what? Is contingent. That's what it means. V'nyal al adas shehu ein amotzi. If you're going to say, first he says it in the positive. He enunciates it in the positive and the negative. V'chol anim tzoyim mishamayim v'oretz u'mashe b'neim lo'nimtzu ela me'amita simato. They only exist because of his existence. Because of the reality of his existence. They stem from his reality. V'nyal al adas shehu ein amotzi ein davrach yachol imatzos. What does it mean? It means the nature of existences is such that what? That every other existence is contingent, does not have necessary existence. What is the Lach Gimel? V'nyal al adas she'ein kol nimtzum olvada mitzuyim hu levada yematzi. What is that? That's not just rephrasing. What is what I'm saying now? That his existence is necessary. Right? Right? Okay, you know what I mean? He's saying, in other words, two things a person must know. Two things. You say you could have one without the other. But these two things are absolutely necessary. In other words, they're what? First of all, that God is the source of all reality. That's the first proposition. But under that proposition, how is it formulated? All existences are contingent. Right upon him. That's one. Which means every existence that a person studies, everything that a physicist studies, the entire universe is what? He is contingent. And that's one. And what is two? And his existence is necessary. Right? Okay? Right? So you have the general statement, and underneath the two specifics. General statement is in Allah Allah. Two specifics is based in Gimel. That's what Ram formulated, okay? I want to just go a little bit further. That's clear what Ram says. What we said last week. What I want to show you is, let's go into the first halacha now a little bit. What is the Ram? How's the Ram start off? You say it how you say this. Va'omer ha-chachmeis. Leida she'yesham motzui rishayim. That there is a what? That there is motzui rishayim means what? Something which is, whose existence is a primary existence. Primary existence. Right? There is a primary existence. That's what it means. Okay, v'lu mamsi kol nimtza. Now, like I say, and everybody knows that you say this of the Mitzvah Shem. You say this of Shor Shavar Tmima. She is bar v'samis kolod machavas ubalomai. Right. But the first you say this that was written was the Rambam, was way before, predated the Mitzvah Shem. Very few people understand and bother to understand what the Rambam means by you say this. I think it's quite important. Ram means Yisraida, listen to the thing, Yisraida, Yisraida, is the Omer HaChochmas, Sheyei Leida, Sheyei Shom Matzirishan.
What is the pshat? What does Ram mean?
What would you say? What would somebody, if somebody in today was rewriting the Ram, how would they say?
What's out of place? Or what should be substituted? I mean, according to the way most people have an understanding of Yadus.
Listen to what it says. Yisraida, Yisraida, is Vamra Chochmas, Sheyei Shom Matzirishan. Right? What would you say is... No, that doesn't bother me so much. That doesn't bother me at all. What? No. A person would say, yes, listen, Yisraida, a person would say, Yisraid mi Yisraida hados, v'amur amude hados. That's what you say. Yisraida hados, v'amude hados, Yisraida hados, v'amur hados. Put it simply. Yisoid hados v'omer hados leida sheyesha motivation. That's the essence of religion. That's the essence of the religion. Ram doesn't say that. What does Ram say? Yisoid ha-yisoidis v'omer ha-chochmais. We're talking about chochmais. Talking about Yisoid ha-yisoidis. Mitzvahs, the first mitzvah. He says, V'idiyas davas ha-mitzvah say, sh'nem anu ha-shem ha-kecha, it's a mitzvah. Why does Ram say Yisayda is the Omer HaChachmais? What is Ram telling you when he says Omer HaChachmais? He doesn't say Omer HaDos, but Omer HaChachmais. What is he telling you? But what is he telling you, Omer HaChachmais? He's telling you one thing. What we said last week, that what is the religion, the essence of Yadus is what? What is the essence of Yadus? The essence of Yadus is that a person's knowledge should be in line with reality. That's the essence of Yadus. It's not... In other words, Yadus, why is it if a person is kafir? I told this, if a person is kafir, what's wrong? Not because he's kafir in God, because God bothers God. But if he's a kafir, it means that he is the furthest away from the reality. That's why the Rambam says, Yisayda, Yisayda, is Mamar HaChachmais. What does it mean, Mamar HaChachmais? It means this is the basis of all knowledge. It's the most fundamental principle in the universe. The most fundamental principle. Why is it if a person is a kafir, why is he in such a poor state, such a bad state? Because he is so far away from the true chokhmah. That's why he's in a bad, poor state. Not because he lacks religiously. Yadus, that's why the Rambam always refers to Yadus as a dos emes. Dos emes. Dos emes means the religion of reality. Emes means a mitzvah, like he says over here. He says, L'fi yikoch eina mitoso ka mitas echod mehem. Yehushan avim arashan lakim emes. What does Hashem Lekim Emes? Doesn't mean God tells the truth. Hashem Lekim Emes means his existence is the ultimate reality. Emes is reality. That's what Emes means. Emes, a person tells a lie. Why is it a lie? Because it's not in line with reality. That's not what really happened. That's what Emes counts for. Emes means something which is not in line with reality. Hu levadei ha-emes. Ve'ein la'acher emes ka'amitasai. Nothing has reality like his reality. That's what the Rambam says. So the Yadus, like we said last week, we started with the question of learning with Shema, but ultimately we wound up with a principle. If you take a look at the Rambam, you see the Rambam enunciates exactly what the Rambam enunciates in the first halacha of Yisrael HaTorah, that the essence of Yadus is that a person should be in line with the true reality. So it comes out like this. And one time I asked this question before. Who has a greater knowledge of physics, Moshe Rabbeinu, or a person who is the greatest physicist, who is an Apicurus? Who has the greater knowledge? Who has the greater knowledge of reality? What's the answer? The answer is, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu. Why must it be that way? Because any person who studies reality and believes that the existence of reality, that reality exists per se, is making the most basic, fundamental error with regard to the universe. See? I'll give you an example. Let's say, for instance, a person, you'd have a mirror, and a person would be studying an image in a mirror. And he'd be studying the image, how the image moves in different directions, and study all types of calculations, mathematical calculations, move this way at this rate. I mean, you work out all kinds of mathematics. Mathematics work out any quantitative thing. So he'll work out all the mathematics, he'll have everything perfected with how the image moves. But he will not know that that image is only a reflection of something else. You understand what I mean? He'll think that's an essential thing. Now, who would have more knowledge, a person who has all these calculations, or a person who knows that the image is merely a reflection and knows what the real object is? There is no doubt. The person knows what the real object is. More knowledge of reality. This man is making a mistake in regard to the most basic idea. He thinks that the thing is reality. It doesn't even exist as a reality. existence is only a reflection. So it's true, while they might have very complicated mathematical computations, but the fact remains, he doesn't understand what the most basic thing is. You see? So therefore, a person who denies God does not have the most basic concept of what reality is. Why? Because in the same manner, what does he believe? He believes that that which he sees in the universe has inherent existence. When in reality, it's nothing more than an expression of the existence of God. It's only a result of God's existence. It's like the case of the mirror. It's only a reflection. And he imagines that this is really the essence. So insofar as true reality is concerned, he is the furthest, very far away. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not saying Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have knowledge of physics also. I mean, this we have no right to say to deny him. I'm saying even if we should say that, even if somebody should say that, in Yalla Ladath, like the Rambam says, the person will possibly think that way. Nevertheless, what knowledge did Moshe Rabbeinu have? He had knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the highest knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's humanly possible. He knew Hadirinos Rachecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Antonim. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the highest knowledge of the ultimate reality, the real reality, which is the source. So therefore, in terms of knowledge of reality, there is no question that the greatest knowledge of reality was Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he was the one. That's why he's a Dina Anavim, the highest level of man can reach, because he had the greatest knowledge of the real reality behind all the physical realities. Because the physical realities don't really exist per se; they're just a reflection of the true existence. That's the Rambam saying over there. Okay? That's what he said. Well, I answer like this. Let me just finish this off. Now you understand why it's Ikar Gadol Shehakol Toli Bo. Because this is the basis of all reality. The basis of all reality is the knowledge that there is an existence behind the realities that we see, the physical realities. There is that with an existence whose essential nature carries with it existence. As the only thing that has real existence. That's the Ikar Gadol Shehakol Toli. Without this, a person has no knowledge of reality at all. No matter how many mathematical computations he has, he's like the person who's making mathematical computations in regard to images. You see? Very good mashal is a very good mashal. That is the take a look at the seventh book of the Republic. Really beautiful mashal. The Rambam writes the wisdom of the den, he calls it. But the Rambam writes about Plato. He says divrei apaltain rabbi shel aristoi amukim umeshulam. Says the words of Plato, Aristotle's Rebbe, are very deep. And meshulam means that they're metaphorical. So not metaphorical, actually, is a better word. It's not a metaphor, it's a simile. Yeah. So the thing is that definitely he was referring to, without a doubt, I mean, this mashal is one of the most beautiful mashalim I think it's the best one that Plato has, most beautiful one that Plato has. So you see, he gives an elaborate example of what we were just discussing about. Who has the ultimate knowledge? It's quite clear. What? Dover zen mitzvah seishin em aneichir Hashem lekecha. V'chol amay la'aldati ya'ayu le'seg, right. Okay, v'kaif v'bikar gozhe. Now I want to say something else. He says, yediyas dover zen mitzvah seishin. V'chol amay la'aldati sheyesham leka acher chutz mizeh. What does it mean, sheyesham leka acher chutz mizeh? What do you mean, chutz mizeh? Okay, I mean, what does it mean, chutz mizeh? It means, it wouldn't be another God. It wasn't another God.
Besides, including?
Chutz mizeh. Besides this God that we mentioned.
In addition, right.
That's right. Even in addition, not just instead. This is a good observation. Even in addition. Even in addition, if you should imagine. Now, Allah is a word. He's a kafir. It's a kafir. Okay. Yeah, but I want to understand one thing, you see? How, when he says chutz mizeh, it means there must be a way to identify this God. How do you identify this God? What's the identification of this God? How do you identify him? What's the answer? Huh? No, the identification of the God is what? Is the thing which has real existence behind the phenomena of the universe. That's, isn't that what he says? Right? Okay? Sheyesham Matsurishoin, Lu Mamsikonimsa. There is something which has real existence behind the phenomena of the universe, right? Okay. The Rambam explains a little further. Plus Aina Guf and Elakazer. This is a Echaruv, Aina Shnaim, Elayesar Shnaim. He goes into the more into the specifics. But basically that's what it is. The basic idea is that there is an existence, and you can't say a force. I mean, any word that we use is no good because it's borrowed from the contingent existences, because that's what our mind operates on, the basis of contingent existences. So everything we try to go back behind the contingent existences. We're going to still going to be using part of our mind. We'll be using physical metaphors, our imagination. We can't leave the imagination too much in this existence. We can't go too far behind the imagination. So therefore, it's wrong. But we have knowledge that there's that knowledge itself is considered knowledge. So therefore, we say like this. Now let me just explain this one thing. That's all here. So therefore, what's the identification of this God? It's the God of the universe. Interesting thing. According to the Rambam, that's the end of the halacha. It's interesting, but it says, it's not the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Rambam doesn't say that. It doesn't say the God that took out of Mitzrayim, right? It doesn't say the God that gave the Torah. It's an interesting thing, right? According to the Rambam, what's mizeh? Mizeh is the one he just mentioned, right? Which means the source of the universe. So what's the identification of this God? According to the Rambam, what's the identification of this God? Identification of this God is the source of nature, the source of the universe. Not Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Interesting. Not the God that took us out of Mitzrayim, not the God that gave the Torah. Interesting. Right? What do you say about that? Very good. The oldest wife says, Nechashem Gashem Sichem Mitzrayim, right? So, the whole discussion, Evanezer brings down from the, what's his name, the Kuzari and the Rashi, I think that's mentioned too, right? They all talk about it. Why does it say, Nechashem Gashem Barash Mayim Vorot, right? And here, like Dani says, the Rambam is saying, choosing the other one, the one that the Torah didn't choose, seemingly. You know what I mean? Because the Rambam doesn't mention any words over here about Yitzchak Mitzrayim. I mean, you just check it over. You'll see. Ram doesn't mention a thing about Hakel and Nichbav and Neros and Percheni Mitzvah La'avoyul Yiras. Not a word is mentioned about Yisus Mitzrayim. Nothing. Well, why? I mean, it's a funny thing. Most people, yes. Yeah. Over here, the Rambam really isn't discussing a proof. The Rambam doesn't mention anything about a proof. He just says like this: Yisoyda. He doesn't explain it ever. Vamar Achach Meis Leidash Yesham Motzirisha. In other words, the knowledge of this fact, he's telling you which fact, and the God, he's identifying the God. You understand? So by identifying God, most people think that he should bring in the God of Mitzrayim. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you think so? What God, somebody asked the person, Steve, what God do you believe in? You believe in the Lekei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Right? Would you say that? Right? How many Eretz Mitzrayim? Right? Right? My answer is like this. The Rambam is trying to tell you that the basis of Yadus is an accurate knowledge of reality. Now, if a person would say that this is the God that took us out of Egypt, right? Would he have an accurate knowledge of reality? No, as long as he doesn't know that this God is the Motzi Rishon, he is very far away from reality. He might think it's a force in reality by what we mean by reality, physical force, physical reality that came and took us out of Mitzrayim. That would be so far away from the ultimate. That's the Elo Lech Yisrael, Hashem Tzichem Eretz Yisrael, Egel Hazor. You know what I mean? That was a sign. The fact that they needed something physical was a sign, a reflection of the fact that the way they conceived God was had some physical. So even though they said Eila Lehechi Yisrael Asher Tzichu Meretz Yisrael, yeah, Nechi Shem Rosh, and they said, yeah, no, that was Sphira, because that knowledge, the fact that he took us out of the sand is not the identification of the God. You understand what I mean? That's why they all list the Kasha. Why is that? Tzichu Meretz Yisrael. We should say Baruch Shemayim V'Aretz. That's what the Rambam says. Baruch Shemayim V'Aretz. Listen, you want, if the idea is to be in contact with reality, so you must state that which is the ultimate, that which is the most basic reality. What is the most basic reality? That this God exists primarily, right? And is behind all the physical phenomena, which exists contingently. That's the Rambam's definition. If you say here, God that took you out of Mitzrayim is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the Rambam left it out. The Rambam does not say that. Because that, and the whole thing in with Yetzias Mitzrayim also, the whole thing with Yetzias Mitzrayim, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, says, I'll tell them, Elokeia, Avnei Kislokei, Akash Lachani, Aleichem, Mamashimoi, Moim Alayim. Whole parsha over there. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you should tell them, so the Rambam explains in the Maariv, the Rambam says, what do you mean? Well, what's his name? I mean, if they knew the name, so why couldn't he know the name? You know what I mean? What kind of a raya is that? And if they didn't know the name, so he could make up a name. So that wouldn't prove anything. What's the whole idea of it? Tell him what's his name. What should I tell him? What are you talking about? A name? If they knew the name, why couldn't he know the name? And if they didn't know the name, so he could use any name. So what proof is there? So the answer is Shmo means his essence. Shmo means his essence. So before Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Zikne Yisrael about the nature, the essence of the God that he's talking about. That's the Rambam. What's the Rambam talking about? You say this. Rambam HaChachmais. You understand what I mean? So the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim only has importance if it's a reflection of the true nature of the ultimate existence. If it's not a reflection of the true nature of the ultimate existence, then it's the Egel Azov. So what good is it? They also might in the Egel Ashet Zichamar Tzrayim. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So that's why, on the contrary, that's just a detail. Just a detail, Ashet Zichamar Tzrayim. The halacha of Anecher Hashem Lekecha is the God of the universe. That's why if somebody asks if Einstein believes was Mekayim and Anecher Hashem Lekecha, without a doubt, according to Rami, was Mekayim 100%. Because he believes that there is a force behind the existences of the universe that's the source of all existence. That's what the Ram says. Yeah, Shem Lekayim Atzmus. There's definitely Kayim Atzmus. No question about it. Even though he didn't know. You give, Yud Kei Vav Kei, doesn't mean that somebody gave Hashem a name. You see, you have to understand, when you say a name of a God, it doesn't mean that. What difference? You see, if you say a name of God, what does it mean? A name. Somebody gave him a name. When a person's born, they give him a name. Can't apply this to God? The name Yud Kei Vav Kei is an idea in regard to the nature of a God's existence. When it says, V'ayma Ekya Asher Ekya, Kei Sama Abnei So Ekya Shlachani Lechem. I can't pronounce this, Shem Hashem. So it means it has something to do with Hayahayah of the year. Something you can see, obviously, from the Pasuk, has something to do with the idea that it is the nature of his existence is eternal. It's outside the realm of time. You understand what I mean? All those Shemay Shel Hashem are ideas that have to do with the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then what you call the names that people use don't have any value. You understand what I mean? The person is a name, and any name in the world, and they'll say, with this name I mean that primary cause of the universe. That's it. The names that we use in the Torah have specific significance because those names in Lashon HaKodesh have meaning in relationship to the Creator. Do you understand what I mean? But it's not an arbitrary thing, a name. Buddha, if he believed it's the man, if he used the word Buddha, which represents a certain person, then obviously he couldn't believe in the primary cause of the universe. But Buddha means Buddha is a reference to an individual who lived many years ago. Now obviously that isn't the Matsi Rishon. You know what I mean? So if he used that word and he meant a being that lives, it's not the word isn't the important thing, it's what the idea behind the word is that's important. If he meant that, you're right. But if he, let's say for instance, he never heard of the word Buddha, and let's say he was the only man in the world, and he was thinking to himself, and he came to the idea, and he happened to call it by those syllables. Wouldn't matter what the syllables are, as long as he had the correct idea. Otherwise, the Rambam should say, Yisrael Shiyeshem Amatzirishin V'hu Nikra Yitkevavke. Why isn't Nikra V'Hashem Shalom Yitkevavke? Doesn't say anything about that. Because names are only conventions. Names are conventions. Like speech is convention. The important thing isn't I call this thing a table. The important thing is that when I say that word, I'm referring to something which we all commonly understand has certain properties. And we understand the same exact properties. Otherwise, what? That's why the word God is actually al pi din, the word God, has halacha of kinuyim, of kinuyim. If a person will, that's why I mentioned Shirzik. A person should not say, God damn so and so. We'd be over loisa kalacheresh. Because if you makal, you know, let's call cheresh, not just a cheresh, it's anybody. If you curse a person and you use a term which is a kinuy Hashem, like you say rachum, so then you're over lavin araisa. You're over lavin araisa. That's why it's a very bad thing to do. A person should not get into the habit. A person says that, and he says it about a person, he says about an object, something else, he says about a person, he'll be over lavin araisa. See? But the reason is because the word God is commonly used as a reference. It's used as a reference in the English language to a primary existence. So that's why it has. That's why it has, otherwise it wouldn't have any value. Otherwise it wouldn't be a kinyan Hashem. You see? But the particular vowels and consonants that are put together don't really have importance, only in the way of convention. You see? But in terms of reality, that doesn't matter. In terms of the ideational formulations, it doesn't make any difference. Do you know what I mean? Yes. Go ahead. Wow. Chaim Nava Chalamin was made by Tanoim. Tanoim and Avraham. So it says, what's the one? It says, Hashem.
Oh.
That's one way. The other way is Havadai Shemoi Kenti Lasai. Havadai Shemoi Kenti Lasai. Why does it say that way? Because Vadai means his existence is. That's what Vadai means. It means his existence is definite. What does it mean, definite? It means it's necessary. Definite, necessary. Vadai Shemoi Kenti Lasai. His praise can only be in his essence. Because understanding his essence, that's the praise. See? Vadei Shmoi can't be lesser. Because you have, I'll bring you a riot to that shot. Other ones say, Vadei Shmoi. Vadei Shmoi doesn't make any sense. I'll bring you a riot that this is the correct shot. Because it says later, it says, Kishimcha can't be lesser. Kasha lecha is in the rech lirzeis. Kishimcha can't be lesser. Kishimcha can't be lesser. Vadei Shmoi can't be lesser. And the Titanum always, they take one from the other. They follow the same idea. Kishimcha can't be lesser. So that's the shot. That's the shot. Yes. The knowledge of his nature, of his essence. That's what the shame means. The shame means, what would the shame mean? Not just the convention relationship to God, because the shame in Lashon HaKodesh conveys certain ideas about his essence. That's the reason. Yes. I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying it's possible. I can't go into particulars. I'm just saying. Right, that's right. If he had this idea, that God's nature is necessary and everything else is only a reflection of that necessary, then he had the kind of necessary. If he held that everything else is necessary, then of course, he would go. All right. But let me ask this. Why doesn't the Rambam include also Asher Tzichem Eretz Yisrael in the Yisrael Samar HaChmas? Why doesn't he? Because it's only in relationship to us. In the categorical, it's only in relationship to us. To the nature of his essence, not to his actions. See, and it makes sense that way. It has to be that way. That's the belief has to be, the acceptance, the knowledge of God has to be in relation to the essence of the thing. The actions of the thing are only accidental, so to speak. But now we get involved in the philosophical problems. That's the case. First of all, why does it say Nechash Shem Kecha Shetzi? How does Rambam learn Nechash Shem Kecha Shetzi Sich Meretz Yisrael? What does it mean Shetzi Sich Meretz Yisrael? But this is one time explained it. What does it mean? That's right. The fact that Shetzi Sich Meretz Yisrael is a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Motzi Rishen. Because it's a proof to what? It proves what? It proves that there is no such thing as the eternity of the universe. Because those who believe in the eternity of the universe believe that God cannot make any changes in the universe. But they believe the universe is just a reflection of his essence, and it's not a result of his action. It's a result of his essence. Yeah. So therefore, it's just the moment God exists, the universe naturally exists. So just like in his nature, there's no change in the universe. That's what they maintain. That's why they hold that way. Because it was an attempt to unify all phenomena. One step too far over there, they went. So the basic theory, right? So that behind the soul is wrong. Because we hold that according to the result of God's action. But this one, I'll ask you that. What? Means who did the Nisim and and who changed nature in order to take out of Mitzrayim, which means that he is the source of nature and he can effectuate a change in nature. If nature is just the result of his essence, then he can't effectuate a change in it. See?
That's what we just told him. He didn't change nature. He said nature.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Essence change, maybe Bereshit, the same thing. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Such,
either Rambam's chat, which means he did make a change, or else the way Chazal learned it was that all Essence change, maybe Bereshit, but still means he's Matsurishin. Matsurishin, yes, that's it. They're both, either way you're going to say, he's still going to be Matsurishin. You know what I mean? Either you'll say that initially when he created it that way,
yeah.
Or else you say that he changes later, which means that he has the ability to change it. Why? Because it's in his, all these, everything the way it exists is contingent upon him. He can change it. You see? But if you say that
but
eternity,
if God is going to break this thing, then apparently
his will is that that should be set up this way. His will is that there should be universals and which things should operate via universals. That's his will, but he certainly can change it. In other words, it's not outside of his ability. Just that his will is, we see that God's will is, God's wisdom decrees that the best way for the universe to work is by universal laws. But he has the ability. Does he have the ability to change it? Yes. Does he want to change it? Does his will, is his wisdom dictate to change it? No, apparently no. Certain times, yes. You see by Yetzias Mitzrayim, yes. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is only a demonstration of what fact? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Motzei Rishon. That's the way the Rambam learns. But the actual mitzvah, Anecha Hashem Elokecha, Raya, but that's not the essence of the belief of the Emunah, you know what I mean? The essence of the Emunah is what? Is in terms of the Matsurishin. The Raya is Asher Tzichem Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Rambam learned. But the actual Yediyah, the Yediyah, use the word Yediyah and Emunah interchangeably, it's the same thing. The Yediyah means the Yediyah Hashem is what? What is the Yediyah? That is, essence is a Matsurishin. That's the shot in the Rambam. You understand what I mean? That's the way the Rambam is shot. So, but the fact that he did it is only what? The fact that he did it is only an accident. But it's only in terms of his actions. Well, let's ask you a question. We say it's in terms of his actions, right? But isn't it true that his actions result from his essence? Isn't it true that God's actions result from his essence? So it's a question of the essence also. Right? Okay? You thought that question. You look like you thought about it, yeah? Too far. What's the answer? The ability. Who has the ability? I'm not so sure it means it's a raya. I said a raya. Or has the ability that the Tzichel Meretz Yisrael means that he's the Motzei Rishon. Well, I said Tzichel Meretz Yisrael means that he's the one that did it. Now, that's the question whether in particular these certain occurrences took place. That's a separate question. That's a separate halacha, a separate din of. In the Yisrael Yadas, you see, the separate in Yisrael Yadas. But this over here, as far as Matsurishin is concerned, that the main thing is the nature of the essence. Well, that's the only question you have, that's the case, is, but the nature of the essence, the nature of God's actions results from his essence, right? So you're stuck again. You don't believe that. What's the answer? Now, the answer is very simple. What's the answer? You could say, I understand his essence, even though I don't understand it, even though I don't know, I deny some of his actions. Because his essence and his actions are two different things. And actions can result of accidents. A person did something, he put on his shirt wrong. It's a result of accidents. You know, he did something, he took a pen in his hand. It's not a result of his essence. But in relationship to God, God doesn't have any accidents. And God is only essences, only one essence. So therefore, since it's only essence, so everything is a result of his essence. But the answer is very simple. What's the answer? The answer is that there's two things, you see. If one thing is insofar, there's one area of knowledge. There's one area of knowledge. One way to look at knowledge is in terms of the way things are. That's one way. But there's another way to look at knowledge, and a practical way to look at knowledge, as in terms of what we as human beings can understand. I'll give you an example. You start a sugya, right? So you might, maybe, according to the way things are, you should start the sugya from the most basic idea. I mean, logically, if we start from the most basic idea, get the general categorizations, and then you get the more details until you have the whole sugya, right? Fine. But when a person starts to learn, he can't always do that, because he might not be able to get the most basic idea in the sugya until he goes through a lot of the details, which keep on hinting back at what the basic idea is. It might take him a while until he gets the basic idea. So his order of study is not the same order as the order of the importance of the ideas, right? The order of ideas does not necessarily follow his order of study, because he's a human being, and since he's a human being, he doesn't necessarily, he can't follow the way the reality is. He has to follow the way he learns. All right, same thing is over here. It's true that in terms of the ultimate reality, God's actions are a result of his essence. That's true. But and so far as human reality is concerned, it's beyond the area of human ken, beyond the ken of mankind. There's no way that we can know this. We can't know this. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was, he knew that we understood the ways, the patterns, but he couldn't tie it into the essence. That's how he knows Pedecha, couldn't do it. So to know how the actions of God result from his essence is something which is unobtainable in our lives. Therefore, that cannot be part of the Yisrael Yadas. You understand what I mean? Because it's impossible. You say the dust has to be said. Dust has to be insofar as what? Mitzvah is concerned. You understand what I mean? So it's true, while it is true, that if we knew God's essence, we'd understand why it's here from the ceramic place, we'd understand why he appeared to the obvious, and why all these things we'd understand exactly from his essence. But it's beyond the knowledge of man to be able to understand why this is so. Since it's beyond human knowledge, so therefore it can't be a part of the, it's impossible to be part of the, insofar as our benefit is concerned, we have to know what the ultimate reality is. That's our benefit, to know what the truth of the ultimate reality is. But beyond that which we could know, it's impossible to say that that's a part of the mitzvah. We can't know it. I mean, insofar as we are human existences, it's beyond us. So therefore that's outside of the scope of what the mitzvah is. That's why the actions of God are not a part of the, according to Rambam, do not play a role at all insofar as the of the most basic Yisrael Yadas. You know, something, it's not his essence. Masi Rishon is only a description. Masi Rishon, it's not really.
What do we
say Masi Rishon? You see, Masi Rishon only means, it only tells you something insofar as his relationship to things that exist. That's all it tells you. In relationship to things that exist, he is the Masi Rishon, but it doesn't tell you about his nature, about his essence. His essence doesn't say anything about it. You understand what I mean?
Over,
then there's no way that he could tie in the actions with anything at all.
Here,
yeah, he could tie it in with reality. In other words, you see, it's the only. In other words, the greatest knowledge that we can have of God is insofar as his relationship to the world and to the universe. That's the greatest knowledge that man can have of God. See? But in isolated action, he's not getting anything out of that. There's no way that he could even know that.
The
person knows of the universe. The more he understands of the universe, physics, intensive physics and metaphysics, the higher he, that's the Ram says, the higher he is. The highest level is metaphysician. That's the Maisa Makava, tremendous level. The answer is the Rambam really gives in the Pirush Mishnayos, where he mentions the Yud Gimel Ikarim. The Yud Gimel Ikarim does not have to be based upon primary knowledge. In other words, primary knowledge means with a person like Avraham Avinu, he worked it out himself. You see? But that a person doesn't have to have in order to be included in the Yisrael Yisraelis, Amar HaChafas. You can have that knowledge via Masera. It's also good. Via Masera, secondary knowledge. See? Via Masera. That again, but it has to have a basis. It has to have a basis. It can't be just some crazy. I mean, it has to have some basis. The basis could be in terms of his framework, he sees that this is really true, you know, and therefore those people who had the Masora knew this idea, and therefore he accepted it as correct. That's good enough. That's secondary knowledge. We call it secondary knowledge. In other words, he doesn't see the primary. Like a person knows, the doctor gives a person a prescription. Does he know how it works? He doesn't know how it works exactly, right? And he probably never will. But the thing is, he knows that insofar as concerned, this man has knowledge of medicine, and therefore this thing has to do X or Y. You know what I mean?
He's living within reality.
Yeah, he's living within reality. That's the same way he has to know it from Masera. He doesn't have to know it from Chachma. That's the highest level. That's why the Gemara says that anybody that could study astronomy and doesn't is over the pasuk. It's poil yodai l'ro'u ma'aseh yodai lo yibitu. They don't want to see the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a big thing. You see? That's the Rambam said, of course, that's a high level. That's the, we said, that's right. What we said was, one time said, that the purpose of an individual's life is to make his secondary knowledge primary knowledge. That's the purpose. You have to start, you can recall him, you have to start with a basis from the Sarah. As knowledge from the Sarah. That's what it is. But it's an interesting Rambam. Really interesting Rambam. It's unfortunate. Really, that in yeshivas, I mean, nobody even bothers to learn it or to understand it in any way whatsoever. I mean, it really is unfortunate. But it's such an, what could be more important if you have one of the greatest Chachmei Yisrael, one of the Balei Masera, who says, Yisayda, Yisayda, Zomana Chachmei? I mean, what more of an instruction did he give you?
He says, Ikar Zelos are called Taliban, not even to bother to look at it. I mean, this is a complete absurdity. This only shows the corruption of an individual's nature. Not to see what the real essence of what a Gadol Yisrael says.
Yeah.
What does Nechashon Kecha mean? I am the Matzi Rishay. That's what Hasram says. That's what Hasram says.
The idea is that there's a mitzvah station. Emor Nechir Hashem Lekecha.
What does it mean, Nechir Hashem Lekecha?
Well, that means
Anochi Matzi Hamatzi Rishin Shemamtzi Kol Nimtzi Vachon 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 Nimtzi Vachon
I ask questions.
No, he doesn't ask. He just explains it. He says that the word "shum" doesn't mean a place. Well, it's obvious. Sheir shum, it means that there is. It's like there. There is. There. What does there is mean? There. Where? Doesn't mean. He says like it means derived from the story. He says the Rambam says ain shum ha'ima ain shum nevuah klal ain shum nevuah klal ain shum adam. The Rambam says not the Kurds. The Rambam says there's no Nevuah. The Kurdish prophet doesn't give any Nevuah to Bnei Adam. Ain't Shom Nevuah. It means it doesn't exist. The word Shom means existence. It doesn't mean physical. It doesn't mean physical place. It means existence. There is. Yeah. That's what it means. Either way, the Rambam says, either way, it comes out to the same thing. In other words, whether you say that God created those laws in Sheish Yemei Bereishis and therefore it works from then on, or else we say he made certain changes at the time of Yitzchus Mitzrayim. Doesn't matter, because either way he's a Matzi Rishon. That's all. I can't tell whether these reasons are good or not good. But the closest of all the of all those involved me with Triyada. Really, closest. It's tremendous. It's an interesting book. It's a wonderful good book. It was a collision. But the thing is, it was a collision. Like, it brings certain riots that what the events of the Torah are true. He brings from other nations that they have same records, similar records of those events. Interesting, very interesting. But I'm not passing my judgment on that book, what I think of the book. It's a certain point. But the point is, I'm just saying this, that insofar as he tries to show the certain natural phenomena that were involved, that certainly is not connected to Torah. Vayelach Hashem ruach gadol chazak ma'id. It says that split the vaybakar moyim. I mean, you see, and it says also ruach kadim nosas arba. But a lot of the natural forces. But the miracle wasn't the forces. The miracle was. That's right. That's who says it. The Kuzri says it. Prediction. If you do this will happen exactly this time. That showed that it was God's will. That shows that the timing. Okay. There's a lot of volcanoes and upheavals all over the world. What does that prove? It proves there's a God. It's only the timing that proves it. Only because when Tara did this way, it's going to happen exactly at this time. Machar that. Asis Abba, okay. Machar Lisa. That's the way. The whole thing is the timing, not the event. Okay. Hamotzi Azeh. It sounds like this. Hamotzi Azeh hu elakei ha'oilam adon kol ha'aretz. Vuhu hamanig ha'galgal b'koyach she'en lo keitz v'tachlis. The koyach she'ein lo hefsek. Shad galgal seves tamid the ef sheyisoyz below mesavev. Hu baruchu hamesavev also below yad below guf. So he says the motion of planets. He says is the result of God's existence. Because nothing moves. Ein sovev below mesavev. And that proof was Aristotle's. It was based on Aristotle's physics. But when the laws of inertia were discovered, so it's not really true that ain't so believe in something. Because a thing can move, stay in a constant state of motion. First observations in physics were a lot of the observations were brilliant, but there wasn't enough knowledge at the time to be able to make them as accurate as we have them today. So. Yeah, that's because the reason why there's no perpetual friction. Because if there's no friction, it'll go perpetually. See, if you go into outer space, once you get the rocket into outer space, it'll keep on going. Nothing will stop it. A constant unless there's friction. See, there's no friction in terms of planets. In terms of the motion of planets, there's no friction. Yeah. I would say one thing. I would just make one change. The change is, instead of Sovev and Mesabev, instead of the planets moving around in a circular orbit,
the, I would make one change, it's the expansion. I'd say Ein is Pashtus, B'li Makar. In other words, like this.
First cause.
That's right. Right. In other words, yeah. In other words, that the universe, and there's many different, the universe is much bigger now than they thought it was 50 years ago. Tremendously bigger. They didn't realize how big, what a big thing the size, the enormous size they're dealing with. But the galaxies, I mean, we're just a part of one little galaxy, the Milky Way. And there's many, many other galaxies. They're even discovering galaxies constantly. So the galaxies, however, are moving apart from each other, constantly moving apart from each other at a tremendous rate.
Yeah.
So there is no steadiness in the universe. There's a constant expansion. And the expansion shows that there was a source from which it expanded. Let's keep on tracing back. You can't say it was eternal, because otherwise it wouldn't reach eternal expansion. It wouldn't reach eternal expansion. See? Every day expands more. Never mind, oscillating is wrong. So the thing is, the fact that it's expanding shows that there was an origin. As a matter of fact, didn't he win the Nobel Prize for this? But they showed, they found...
The
red shift. They were able to show that a certain... Maybe you want to explain about it.
There's a comic movie in the 30s. The way I measure it.
Recently that there are certain electromagnetic phenomena which are a result, a remnant of creation. They maintain oscillating is that when all... Well, you see, there's such thing as black holes. Black holes are sucking matter. The thing is, what? Yeah, Einstein. Now they Einstein predicted it, but they know now. They almost demonstrated. Once the universe, that eventually everything's going to be sucked into the black holes. They're powerful. In other words, the force of the explosion. Black holes are sucking
matter.
The thing is, what? Yeah, Einstein. Now they Einstein predicted it, but they know now. They almost demonstrated. Once the universe, that eventually everything's going to be sucked into the black holes. They're powerful. You know, the force of the explosion of creation pushes it out. But now the black hole keeps pushing it back, so it will reach equilibrium finally, and then it's going to start to start withdrawing again. But the point is, the conscious still is though. So what happens when it's all into a black hole and stays in there, right? So then they say, then it explodes again. See?
It
starts over again.
Together,
but the question is, why? There's nowhere that we see that there is no law that shows when matter comes together in a black hole, it has to explode. I mean, so I'll say, of course, the accumulation of matter. That's probably not enough. But why should, in science, you don't have to test the whole ocean to know what the ocean water is made out of. You just take the rulers, you just take a sample, and you know what the laws are. So why should we even go out to this? Why should we say that you don't know, I'm just telling you. No, that's what I'm telling you. Since you see, so far as matter is concerned, that there's no cause for explosion, and there's no reason to make that assumption. Yes. I don't know if that's what he wanted to say, or if that. I would say this. I would say more generally. I would say that what the Rambam, why the Rambam has the halacha is because of what he means like this. Part because the Rambam says the ideas dover zeh mitzvah say shnei man echad hashem lekecha. Right? The ideas dover zeh. What is the ideas dover zeh? What? All that he said up to here. Now halacha hey is not. I don't believe the particulars of halacha hey are the important thing. What the Rambam means is that a person must be able to see in the universe a reflection of the creation, of the creator. Creation and creator, that's what he means. There must be in the universe a reflection of the creator. That's what he must be able to see. That's why the Rambam, of course, was based on the Aristotelian proof of the, what do you call it, of the, insofar as the, what do you call it, as far as the, yeah, but the, right. But the point is, the universal underlying that is he must be able to see in the existence, in the universe, he must be able to see the reflection of the Creator. That's the measure of Ramzino. Ramzino was the first to the sun and to the moon. It means that he has to be able to see the reflection of God in the universe. Yes.
Now you should say it with a different kavana. You know?
Really, like I told you last week, it's important that a person should change when he gains knowledge. He should change his practicality, because the practicality reinforces the knowledge. And yeah, this maintains that it's a very important thing. The practicality with the tie-in with the practicality and the knowledge is very important.
Verbalization.
When I say, near Hashem l'keichem MS, right? Now you know what it means. We get some idea, right? MS doesn't mean MS. It doesn't mean tell the truth. That's right. And he is the ultimate reality. Reality. Emes means reality. He is the ultimate reality by Hashem Olekim Emes. Comes from Pasuk. Hashem Olekim Emes. What does it mean Hashem Olekim Emes? He is the ultimate reality. Malkeinu Efes Zulasa. Very good. Emes Malkeinu. What does it mean Emes Malkeinu Efes Zulasa? Hashem tells the truth and there's nothing besides him. Emes Malkeinu Efes Zulasa. That he is the ultimate reality. Without him there's nothing. All the existences that the science, all the existences that the scientists study are only contingent existences. They think, anyone who thinks those are essential things is completely mistaken with regard to the most basic idea in the universe in terms of reality. You know what I mean? Completely mistaken.